Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
Dude, can we appreciate hair? It was hair wash day. We
got some. I need to wash mine today. I needed to wash mine 2 days ago, but I'm just waiting.
Dude, I am so excited. I get my hair done on Wednesday, and I get not only new extensions, but longer extensions. So since you are a Cosmo girly, I can actually explain this to you without like having a 404 error, but I have a single row, a weft. And normally, like when you place a weft, it's like near the crown of your head, duh. So that way when it grows, it grows with your natural hair. Well, my hair is so long, my natural hair, that instead of installing it at the crown, she has to install it like way down here.
Okay.
So now I'm getting 24-inch extensions.
What are yours right now? 18?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
And like, this is like my natural, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just like, my hair is thriving. I'm thriving. Husband's thriving. Cats are doing their thing.
Oh my God. I love that. I love that for you. I love it. And like, I'm like the total opposite. I'm just surviving right now.
You're like, I am losing my mind.
Dude, I have been. And it's like, fine. It's okay. Like my stress is like, yeah. Oh my God. It's like so astronomical high right now. But like, I'm still functioning. I'm still doing what I need to. It's just like, it's hard. Definitely hard. But
what's your resting heart rate? Is it like through the roof now?
Actually, no. Well, it's funny. So like my resting heart rate is like 58, which is probably like, oh, that's like not bad at all. But I am usually like a 47 to like 51.
Okay, so that's high.
Yeah. So like to be up like over 10 points, I'm like, okay, yeah. But like in the grand scheme of things, like dude, like in prep, my resting heart rate's like 30.
Oh yeah, because it's like you're so cardio adapted. Like I don't want to put Frances on blast, but I'm gonna put her on blast. She was like, she had a really high stressful week at work and the gym and stuff like that. And like, I'm really proud of her because she auto-regulated, because she is a very good gym girly where like she loves the gym, but even she recognized, she's like, listen, I need to not gym right now. But her resting heart rate is usually like 50. And then she messaged me on Friday being like, hey, listen, I'm sorry, but I need to like not check in today. Like I need to kind of just like limit my outputs. Her resting heart rate was 61 on Friday, and normally it's 50. And I was like, tell me you're stressed without telling me you're stressed. So we checked in today. She's doing so much better, which I'm really glad. But I was like, dude, like, good on you for recognizing that, like, you could not handle the gym.
Yeah. And like, yeah, that's kind of how I was like on Saturday. Like I was going to go, and then like, I had like a bunch of plans and shit on Saturday. And like, I kind of just like canceled them all. I'm like, I just need to be at home and fucking relax. I will say it's like hard as fuck being a mom and trying to like down regulate. I'm not trying to say like that's like an excuse, but like
it's reality though.
Yeah, like you just want to like, for me, like down regulating is like, you know, diving into my book, doing deep breathing, like meditating. And it's like really fucking hard to do that unless I'm like getting up an hour earlier or like staying up an hour later, which is like fine, but like damn, it's a lot. So like it's just not as easy as it used to be for me, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to use that as an excuse, but yeah. So like, I'm just like in a survival mode, which is fine. It happens. And then like, I'm also like working on things on the back end. I'm not, ready to discuss everything that I'm doing or will be doing, but, it'll come out one day. I mean, Ash knows the back end of it. So it's not like I'm hiding anything. Our friendship is still at a C+. Relax, people. It's kind of hard for me to like talk about things as I'm going through them because I like to like gather all my thoughts, which I don't know if that's like good or bad.
I think it is what it is. I don't think it's either good or bad. This is how you process, is you gather all the information and then make a decision.
Yeah. And I think it's easier for me to like, I don't want to say like hold it in, because I talk about it like with you, with my boyfriend and like the people that are really close to me. But I don't like outside noise for me. And a lot of things come with outside noise and other people's opinions. And I don't like directly take them, but it's just like unnecessary energy that I don't need, you know, on top of everything I'm going through. So that's where like I'm at, but like nothing's like terrible. It's just like, I'm stressed. My sleep's shitty. I finally had a good workout the other day, which is good, because I've been like kind of lull in the gym, which sucks. Cause I do like training, but And then like for me, like when I get stressed, like my body just hurts just from like inflammation and Hashimoto's and shit like that. But overall, had a good Valentine's Day. We just ate in
Good.
the house. Yeah, we ordered Lebanese food, so that was fun.
Details. I've never had Lebanese food. What does that mean, and what did that look like?
So like a bunch of falafels. Just think of falafels. Yeah. So
She's
yeah.
like, just a lot
That's
of
yeah, I love falafels. No, I usually just get like basic like chicken and rice, and it's mostly just like the seasonings and shit like that. I
falafel.
don't get
Got you.
anything like super extra, super unique. It's just like one, I don't like a lot of unique stuff, and two, it just like doesn't agree with my body, and I'd rather not be feeling like ass. But there's like, hummus, pita, tabbouleh, things like that that are like interesting, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's all right, but it was good. It was good to just like spend time. We celebrated like after our kid went to bed, so later at night, which was good, just to have like some peace and quiet and things like that. And then we watched a true crime episode of one of my favorite YouTubers. Fun fact about me, I've been watching this YouTuber since 2014.
Wow.
I watched her. She
That's when
releases.
I graduated high school, dog.
Yeah, she releases a new one every Monday, and I've seen every single episode since she started her YouTube
Damn. Dedication. I respect that.
I love her. She's great. She just started like a whole foundation for like victims of like true crime and stuff like that, and
No
family
kidding.
and missing people. Yeah, she's donated like millions and millions of dollars. It's really awesome.
Dang, that's awesome. Snaps and claps.
Yeah, she's great. She's really cool. Super down to earth. She's got a good life. She's also a mom, which I think is awesome, and like an entrepreneur, so we can relate, which is sweet. But oh yeah, speaking of moms, we're talking about pelvic floor today.
Yeah, I think pelvic floor, just because like I feel like a lot of people, when they think of pelvic floor work, they just think of Kegels, and they're just like,
Oh
oh,
yeah.
that's only something that you need to do when you're pregnant or postpartum. And it's like, having good core control is important as a bodybuilder, not only from a physique standpoint on stage, because obviously you don't want to let your midsection hang out, especially if you're not genetically blessed with a tiny waist, but then also like core control when it comes to your lower body movements. One, we're trying to grow quads, grow hamstrings, grow glutes, because a lot of the times we have, like, especially in our posing, we have like a force lordotic posture. So our pelvis tips forward, or you have an anterior pelvic tilt. If maybe you follow physical therapists on Instagram, or you have people trying to sound smart, they'll be like, oh, you have an anterior pelvic tilt. Well, you do, because that's how you are. Actually, just like trying not to spell it. Ooh. But it's like you have just like a pelvic tilt, and while that makes your glutes look nice and perky when you're trying to train them, and they're already being like overly stretched, that's going to alter your mechanics. And then also thinking about like bathroom control, especially if you did have a kid, whether you had a cesarean section or not. But then also, just as you age, women typically lose like that pelvic floor contractibility, and like start like accidentally like doing little oopsies, like little pfft, like you
Yeah,
don't
well,
want.
also too, like just like training hard, like training
Yep.
heavy, like power lifters lose it a lot.
Dude, did you see that one girl that deadlifted and she just like literally pissed her pants? It was just like you saw her pissing like mid deadlift. Did you see that video?
I don't know if I saw like that specific one, but I've seen like multiples. Like, yeah, I
Not a
mean,
good
it
look.
it's just like that. It's I mean, it's a well a weak pelvic floor. It's just like those muscles, and like you said, like a lot of people when they think of that, they think of like literally just your vagina.
Yeah.
And sure, like obviously it's the muscles that are that support like the bladder control, the urethra, the vagina, the rectum, the anus, but all of that also and help like help stabilize that core, which is what you've been explaining and why it's important. I don't personally think that I have a weak pelvic floor. Like I even being postpartum as like a mom, never had any accidents. I thought I was going to when I got back to lifting, just because of the way that the baby like obviously sits on your pelvic and stuff like that. But I do have like a that anterior
It's an
help.
insane amount. Yeah, just because of like I mean, listen,
Insane.
you had a baby. The baby's going to change your posture, and then you have like ligaments and stuff that are adjusting as well. And it's like because you were so good at posing too, like again, it's just like that extra posture. And so it's like getting just a better alignment. So especially like when you're sitting all day too, if like you're sitting with poor posture, and again, you have that pelvic rotation, the hip flexors are constantly, being stretched. It's just like getting that low back to actually be able to push your pelvis back into place. And it's something where it caused me a lot of pain too. It's like I really had tight hip flexors on my left side and a tight TFL. And so literally just doing like butt squeezes and really thinking about pressing your back into your computer chair or on the floor if you're rolling around, that can be so helpful from just like a proprioception standpoint. But then also when it comes to hip thrusts, lunges, back squats, deadlifts, because a lot of the times when you see like training videos, you might see what's called like butt winking, where again, you're having that pelvic compensation to get like a few extra degrees of range of motion. And while some of that could be biomechanically related due to, maybe poor ankle mobility, femur length, whatever, like some of it is due to just like poor core awareness. And so when you're able to actually develop, proper core function, not just doing Kegels, but really thinking about where that low back is and getting that to be part of a stronger posterior chain, you have not better like glute connection, maybe hamstring connection, whatever. But then also like thinking outside of the gym, ladies, you're also gonna have better orgasms. Like legitimately, that's just what it is. And I think it's so important to make sure that your training is functional in and out of the gym because while yes, we want to make sure as physique athletes and as bodybuilders, we have the balanced physique, we have good functional training, so we're not getting injured. But then also, like again, making sure you have a healthy sex life and like doing yourself a favor, getting that pelvis right, because like shit, we want to be having nice O's.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's like people think about another way to think about it though too is like quality of life. Like having those improves your quality of life, which then in turn improves your overall mood, your health. It's literally a dopamine hit. So in that realm is like you're already going to continuously feel better, and then in hindsight perform better, whether that's in the gym, in life, in bed, and you just overall feel a lot better. I was gonna say another thing about training that I see it too for a lot of people, is actually when they're doing leg presses and they arch their lower back, to try and compensate for that weight too. And I'm like, hey, push your, put your back flat, because it's obviously helps stabilizing that. And some of them can't do it because it's so, there's just such an imbalance for them. And I'm like, okay, well, we got to work on core stability here, and that pelvic floor for sure.
Exactly. And it's not even just the ladies. So it's like, I get that this is probably a very female-centric podcast, but even like ladies, like if you're listening with your husband or your significant other, or you're just a dude listening, hi, hello, welcome. But for the guys, you also have improved urinary health. Like it can also reduce leakage on your end. It can also improve sexual function in terms of actually enhancing your erection, your orgasm, and actually your own ejaculation control. And then also like for both sexes, your bowel health, right? Because like for crying out loud, we don't want to be giving ourselves fucking like hemorrhoids or anything like that when it comes to like pushing out your poop. Like of course, like when it comes to like having a healthy BM, a lot of that does come down to like proper nutrition, hydration, stress management, but also like we don't want to be giving ourselves like any type of herniation either because we're like on the toilet, you know what I'm saying?
Screaming so hard. Yes. No. I mean, and then, well, with that, when people have oh my God, I can't even think of what it's called right now. When you strain, oh, a hemorrhoid.
Hemorrhoid, yeah.
And then people think they're bleeding out of their ass, and they're like, oh my God, stop, I'm dying. It's just like, no, you're just straining so hard, trying to take a shit. And it's probably because you have a weak pelvic floor. Well, not probably, but could be one of the contributing factors. But I think the biggest thing too, though, is well, at least when you first notice it. Wait, when you first noticed it for you, did you have any incontinence issues? Were you peeing at all or anything like that, or no?
So thankfully I wasn't like a pee girly. Honestly, what mine is, and this is just me being completely real with you, sexual wellness, like just due to past sexual history of rape and that abuse, like me having an orgasm is like kind of very, very difficult for that obvious reason. And so I was trying to figure out ways that I could help myself when it comes to having better sexual wellness, when it comes to that pelvic floor stability. And so I was doing a lot of like, acupuncture and stuff like that to kind of help with like the psychosomatic portion. But like we talk about, like it's great to work on your mental health, absolutely. But because there is that like somatic response, I was like, well, how can I get my pelvic floor to be a lot stronger? And so, I focused on doing Kegels. I focused on doing like a basic bridge pose, but really focusing first on flattening my back. I was doing mobility stuff with like my foam roller and my yoga wheel. And so, really trying to get a better connection between like the postural muscles, both internal and external, and focusing on my mobility. And that really, really helped. And it was interesting because there is a delicate balance between like having that be less like hypertonic, but then also like, so like the difference between like keeping things like stimulated, but also relaxed. So the right muscles were able to relax, and then the other muscles were able to be contracted. So not only was it better for my benefit, it was also better for Eric's. Not to get like too TMI, but it's like you have a certain level of awareness like during like arousal and sexual intimacy where it's like you want to be like, so that way it's like good for him, but also good for yourself. But you also don't want to be so like hyper contracted that you're like not fluid. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah.
No, that makes a lot of sense. It's like finding that like Goldilocks, that happy medium. Other than like doing like you said bridges and stuff and Kegels, was there anything else that you do? There's a few things that I program for like my postpartum mom, so I'm just curious as to like if there was anything else specifically that you worked on that
Yeah,
you.
so I like to do like, I mean, this is even just part of warm up for general exercise. So I like to do a combination of dynamic mobility and then like static holds to bring about that awareness. So I like to first focus on doing like cat cows to actually open up both thoracic and like your, lower spine and kind of open up the hips. And not just like up and down, but like up, down, like move to the side, like actually get that full like rotational element when it comes to all segments of your back. I like to do breathing, like diaphragmatic. I feel like I might be saying that wrong. Breathing, where when you exhale, you again press your low back into the floor, into the mat.
I
From
love
there,
that too.
so I say again.
Oh, that's like one of my favorites. Like that feels so good for me. Like getting like that flat back. Oh.
Yes, and then you do that with Happy Baby, where it's like you have
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Like the legs in the air. Like doing that is really good just for like, again, like grounding your low back into like the earth, if it's like a yoga thing or just the mat in terms of just gaining that awareness. And then from there, we can go into like bird dogs. We can go into, I don't like planks because people rely too much off their shoulders. So if you're gonna do a proper plank, you gotta keep that shit tight. So again, a good cue I like to give is like pull the rib cage down or tuck the ribs in. But from there, it's even working on like your upper glutes and your inner thighs, just again, because that pelvis alignment is so important for the functionality of training. But really, it's like I don't want the whole emphasis to be consuming and overwhelming. So I do try to kind of stick with like bridges, happy baby, the low back press, bird dogs, cat cows. I feel like there's one more that I like to do personally, but I
I
can't think of it.
like with the bridges though, like have them put like a little ball or something in between their knees and like squeeze their knees together.
That's a good one. Yep.
Or like if they have like the Pilates circle, like you know what I'm talking about? It's like a little
You have to send it to me.
yeah, I'll send you a picture of it because it's like really good. It's like it has like resistance on it.
No, I believe it. But with the bridges, you can also elevate your feet and put, I know everyone's like, don't bend your knees, but like if you're doing like a hip reset, I have no problem elevating the feet slightly and putting a band around like below your knee. And when you are like pressing your low back and then pressing up to engage the glutes and then like abducting, so pushing your knees away to again get those upper glutes involved in terms of like a hip reset. That's something I do before training, even not before sex. I'm not doing that before sex, but it's like all of these things do carry on to just a stronger core when it comes to both your training as physique athletes or as functional athletes to make sure, again, we're not getting injured. But then also, like I said, it carries over to better digestion, good equity in terms of like incontinence, and then again, sexual health too.
I'm sending you this Pilates thing.
Do it.
It's just like one of those things too. People, I don't think people realize like how important or how impactful it can be when it comes to like, I don't even want to say like that 1% better, but like it is gonna make a difference. It's like people are like, oh, like pelvic floor, like who cares about that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like they'll just have like that, like, no, like let me just get in the gym. But like you said, it's going to improve, like whether it is like, sexual health, more mobility, more comfortability, just being more comfortable, like whether you are having like pain or discomfort, not pissing yourself or shitting yourself. I mean, that happens, And the reality of it is like it's these is like one of those like it seems like a minute thing, but it is so impactful. And it's one of those things too that you may not even know that you like struggle with it or you don't have the best like pelvic floor muscles, they're not as stabilized until you start doing it, until you start improving it. And then you're like, holy shit. Like I'm better, I'm performing a lot better. It's definitely one of those things where it's like you don't know what you're missing until you start doing it.
Exactly. And it's like, how many times do we hear clients complain about like low back pain, hip pain, knee pain, and all of that's connected, right? And so whether it starts at the base of your ankles, all the way up to like your cervical neck, it's like alignment really does matter. And it's really important to kind of like break down and see like where it is that your functionality is going askew. And more often than not, whether you have like a typical desk job, whether you are on your feet, like your core is something that like is always going to be active, whether you're bringing awareness or not. But because of imbalances, because of desk jobs, tech neck, whatever, it's like it gets detrained in a lot of ways if you're not actively working on it. So like the adage of use it or lose it, very, very true. And you don't have to be a mom to have like really bad anterior pelvic tilt. Like I had it just because I do sit a lot, even though I'm very good about taking walks or whatever, like it still wasn't enough to keep proper, functionality. And while it's great to invest in like cupping techniques or scraping or massages, like it's not one or the other. It's not, oh, my low back hurts, I'll get a massage. You're just kind of alleviating a symptom. It's like, okay, why is the low back hurting? Is it weak? Is it underutilized? And kind of, being a detective and go from there, because we don't want to just accept that, oh, it's low back pain, it's normal, and get a massage once a month. It's like, it's not normal to be in pain. Like, why is your body in pain? Or why do you feel a lot of low back on your deadlifts, for example? It's like, yes, there's a lot of things that can go into pain and dysfunction when it comes to imbalances and performance. But at the end of the day, don't just settle because, oh, it's common in society to have low back pain. It's like, yeah, it's also common to like drink and smoke and eat like a jackass. But like, if you specifically have physique goals, why wouldn't you want better for yourself?
Right. Because people like being complacent. No, I don't know.
Because
Like,
people like legit just roll around on the floor. It's so much fun. Your pets will love it too.
Yeah. Or kids. Or kids.
Or kids.
Another thing I just thought of too, though, like, 'cause I was thinking about like what else like can increase like the anterior pelvic tilt. If your hips are like really tight, like your hip flexors. And like as a physique competitor, as a bodybuilder, especially one that's like our main focus is growing glutes for bikini, like I can guarantee you that 90% of us have like extremely tight hip flexors for no reason. And like that's gonna be that contributing factor. And then like just us as competitors, bikini who pose purposely for that. And it's so hard because like for our posing, for us to show off those glutes, like we are forcing our bodies to create that. Yeah, really, to, as hard as you fucking can, arch that lower back, So then it's just like, oh, well, now I'm trying to correct it on the other side. So it's like finding that happy medium, but like, which can be difficult because it's like, especially as like a mental thing when you're like, no, like I need to arch my back, I need to arch my back. And this is going to make me better in my sport, but really it's also like limiting too because of the other contributing factors outside of just posing.
I will say though, when you realize that you're doing it and you start to work on it, it actually makes posing easier. It really does, because even I was like doing all this low back work and I was like, oh, it's going to make posing so much more difficult, but it doesn't, because you're able to have more effective training. And like, while posing is still hard, it's not as punishing. And that's what I personally found, even in my back pose now, where it's like I always have bitched about alignment issues. Now my hips are good. And the only thing I have left to work on is more of that upper back to get like completely stacked shoulders over glutes versus like not leaning to one side. But a lot of that like humility work when it comes to mobility, stretching, other body techniques, it does actually help in your posing, because now you're not having to contort as hard and like maybe pop something out of place just to feel like a Betty Spaghetti and actually get into those difficult positions.
Yeah, it's hard to get into those positions.
Oh, so hard.
Dude, I remember like my first year of like bodybuilding and like learning how to pose and all that shit. Like I would be sore from posing sessions,
Oh, yeah.
in like insanely sore. Like now when I pose, like yeah, sure, it's uncomfortable and it's not the best place to be in, but obviously like my range of motion had gotten better with getting in those poses and twisting my body. But like, oh my God, when I first started posing, dude, like it felt like harder than a fucking workout.
It really does. It really does. And that's why it's like, because it's difficult, it's like, how can you make it less hard?
Yeah.
And yeah, doing that like mobility work, like I get like everyone rolls their eyes because like it is uncomfortable in a way that, in my opinion, doesn't feel as gratifying as training.
Oh,
Because like
no.
you're able to push yourself mentally and you're like, you get it. But like it's different when you're on a yoga wheel and you're like,
Oh my God. Like for me, it's just like not enjoyable. Like you said, like it's
it's
hard.
not.
Like you just don't have that like satisfaction. Like you don't have that oh after you're done fucking stretching. Like, you know, like you're just like,
You know what
oh.
it is? You don't have that instant gratification
Yeah.
until you pose or until you train, because that's where the payoff is. The payoff is not immediate. Like, yeah, you might feel a little bit more loosey-goosey, but like the instant gratification that you get from pushing yourself during training or having a good, really good posing session where it's like you're able to like have that mind muscle connection and settle into those poses a little bit easier. Your mobility work is the reason why. But after your mobility work is done, like you don't get the atta girl that you get from like pushing yourself on a leg press.
Yeah, and I think it's like hard to be motivated to like do it too. Just because like you said, like it's not gratifying, it's not satisfying until like you do it like repetitive times too. Like in the gym, like you do one set, you hit a PR, you're like, oh fuck yeah, like this feels good. You know, you're laying there stretching, rolling on the ground, like doing bird dogs, and you're just like, all right, like okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're just like, this is fine. Like, I know it's gonna benefit me. Like, I know it's gonna feel good, but like, you don't have like, you know, you do like a bridge on the floor and you're like, yeah, great bridge. Oh yeah. So cool. Like,
Bitch,
you
you
know?
don't know how I'm ability. Like, good bridge, good yoga, good yoga.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Super happy baby. Extra happy baby. Oh, happiest.
Extra.
Happiest. Like,
The
you're like, oh.
happiest baby alive.
Right. Literally, you're like laying there, like rolling around. Actually, I do like doing happy baby again because, you know, like my fucking pelvis is jacked, but like, yeah, it feels good on my lower back, but like the movement of it, like rocking back and
Oh, yeah.
feels good.
Dude, and that's something that I even told one of my clients. I was like, roll around on the floor before bed. Like your animal, because she has a dog, she doesn't have a kid. I was like, your animals are on the floor all day. Like they get so geeked to see you at their level. Like even Uma does it with me. Like when I'm rolling on the floor, she's rolling next to me. Like cats really don't roll unless they're trying to get their scent. But like she sees me having fun and playing. She wants to join too, even though she has no fucking idea like exactly what I'm doing. She just sees me and she just wants to kind of join in on the party. So it's like, whether you have animals or kids, like when you get on the floor and just like, yeah, you want to be productive and do your mobility work, but like it's part of playing too. Because as kids, like you're just on the fucking floor. But as adults, what do we make the excuse? Oh, it's hard to get up. Yeah, because you're not doing fucking mobility work. So get
Right.
on the ground. And if you stay on the ground for a couple of days and can't get up, like you'll get up eventually. It'll be fine.
Right. Call 911 if you're down there
Get your
for.
life alert out. Just like
Right.
press the button.
But yeah, like that's like the thing. Like everything's hard at first. It really
Yeah.
is. It's hard. It's difficult. It's uncomfortable. But then like you start to see like those positives in time. And that's what makes it like worth it. You know, you start to feel better. You can get up off the floor easier. Your body just feels like better as a whole. And like, this is something that I really do need to work on more because like my body always feels like it's been through a fucking train, like a train ran it over. So having like more mobility, and I'll admit, guys, I don't do it really barely ever, but like now I'm feeling it. I used to do it a lot more and my recovery was better. I felt better during my lifts. I was able to get into certain movements a lot deeper. And now it's like, oh my God, I wake up and I just feel like ass. So it makes sense. I mean, like I've done it, but like we just talked about, like it's just not gratifying right then and there. And I'm just like, oh, it's just one more thing I gotta do. But
Exactly. But start small. Like as bodybuilders, we're usually overzealous in like how we do things because we're pretty extreme. We're extremists, you know what I'm saying? But like start small. It's like pick two or three effective movements, 20, 30 seconds, 8 to 12 reps. Like it doesn't need to be something so like gargantuan where you look at it and you get anxiety. You're like, oh my God, that's gonna take like 30 minutes. Because in reality, it's like, okay, one, you have the time, like fucking get off TikTok and Instagram and move your body. But I also understand where if you are someone where, again, the whole we all have the same 24 hours in a day. Hey, Ash and I, the only thing we have in common with our lives is we're named Ash. Like her life is so different than mine, and she's blessed and challenged in different ways, and the same as me. But if we can have 5 to 10 minutes where you're just on the ground, not only is that going to make us more functional as human beings, but better athletes. So start small. Like I said, pick 2 to 3 exercises, 20 to 30 seconds. And as it gets easier, i.e., as you get better and stronger, then start to challenge yourself a little bit more. And the next thing you know, within your daily schedule, within your routine, you're already rolling on the floor. You're actually starting to enjoy it because you realize your mind also gets quiet during that time.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think you want to know something about me though. It's like I used to do it a lot more because it was actually in my program. Like it was programmed in there. And like I had like certain stretches, and I think it was just like 4 or 5 that were every single time before I lifted. So I was doing it 4 or 5 times a week, and it was like cat cow, happy baby, child's pose, seated twist, just like some of these more general stretches. And I did it all the fucking time because it was like programmed in there, and I'm just like a fucking slut for my protocols. So it's not programmed in there anymore.
Well, I
And
just sent you what I created for my athletes. So
I saw that,
take what you want from it and utilize it. I thought it was all I thought it was well written for, any division, not just like bikini and wellness, even though those are the main athletes that I attract. But even for figure and WPD, like you've got to be able to fucking arch and lean back, and you need that low back mobility, but you also need that low back strength when it comes to in the gym. And so the next time you want to make an excuse for like maybe poor mobility or, oh, I don't want to do this, it's like, as a physique athlete, do you want to train hard and effectively? And do you want to pose effectively to highlight your strengths? If you're not a physique athlete and you're just like a general pop lifestyle, do you want to lift smart and safe? Do you not want to get injured? How do you want your quality of life to be the last 10 years of your life? Like, do you want to be like getting yourself on and off the toilet? Part of that's going to be pelvic floor strength. Do you want to wear Depends, or do you want to be dependable yourself? Like all of those things, like do require you to do when you are young, just so that way, again, you have a better quality of life as you are older.
Yeah, and I think like that's like a huge thing that people like miss the mark. Like, I was talking with my boss, essentially, Connor, the other day, and he's just like, it's like your long-term goal, like bodybuild forever. And I was like, no, my long-term goal is like longevity of health. And I like got me thinking is like, oh my God, like that starts now. Like everything that I'm doing now. Like, I coach a girl that I think she's in her 40s, and she's like, I just want to live to like 80 because that's what where my mom is, but my mom's not healthy at 80. I want to be healthy at 80. And I was like, that's so profound. She's like, well, that's why I'm taking action now. Like, she's like, yeah, I'm 40. Like, I wish I would have started 10 years ago, but here we are. I'm, trying to make the changes now because I see down the road what it's going to look like when you are wearing Depends, when you need someone to help get up, where even if you do get up and you're sitting in a chair, you feel like shit sitting in that chair. It's hard for you to sit in. Like, you want to be horizontal the whole fucking day. So it's like taking those things and actions now to improve like quality of life, to be able to enjoy your life, to not be in pain, to be able to move, to be able to feel good. And then on top of it, have those physique goals, train towards those physique goals, and like just like look good, and then also like fuck good, essentially. Am I allowed to say that here?
I mean, we just did. Fuck it. No, but it is like literally like your core is the center of wellness. And it's really important to understand that like it's so much more multifaceted than people realize. Like, for example, it's like, yes, we want good core control when it comes to the stage and stuff like that, but we also want like good digestion, good sex life, and when it comes to just the musculature around it. Then also thinking about like internally, like it protects you. It protects your organs, like your digestive system, your liver, your kidney. Like your core is what literally makes up you and protects you. So like, why aren't we doing things to help strengthen it so we can protect ourselves? And even if you're like into like spiritual wellness, like when it comes to like acupuncture and like different zones and like your shit, what's it called, like
Your chakras.
chakra, thank you, yeah, like the core chakra, like how important is that?
Yeah.
Very.
Not me being spiritual. Oh yeah, my God, love
I literally couldn't think of it. I was like trying to Google like acupuncture
it.
core and I'm like, what the fuck is that word?
I literally was like, as you were saying it, I was like, dude, I know exactly what she's talking about. Should I let her struggle? Should I just
Oh
say
yeah,
it?
I struggled hard.
He's like, that's like my wheelhouse. Like, I love all of that stuff. But like, it makes sense. Like, like when you feel in alignment, when your body feels good and like your spirit, whether it's, believing in chakras or God or whatever, like all of that starts with like the center, and the center is like your core and that foundation. So it's like if that's healthy, then in turn the rest of your body, physically, emotionally, spiritually, will improve as well.
Exactly. And then also thinking from like a stress management standpoint, it's like, where do you feel your stress? And a lot of people will feel stress up here, like in their chest, which I mean, absolutely, yes, especially if you're prone to panic attacks. But a lot of the time, people, when they harbor stress, we're thinking of the digestive tract. And so they either get stressed and get constipated, or if they're like, at a certain point, especially if we're thinking about like their adrenal health, it's like if the minute they get stressed, they like literally piss out their ass. It's like their body's just like, nope.
I used to
But
be a teen.
yeah.
Yeah. Growing up, like we'd have like a soccer game and I'd be like running to the fucking porta potty because I was about to shit myself because my stress was so insane. And yeah, I just had like no stability whatsoever. I was like, this is insane.
Damn. Damn. But yeah. Do that core work. And it's like, in terms of takeaways, like happy baby, doing cat cows, like even downward dog, like things that incorporate your body's and mind's ability to understand the where your like pelvis is at in space, where your low back, where your abs are in space. It's not about just doing crunches. It's about making sure that your entire core is strong. And when we talk about core, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I gotta do my crunches or like my hanging leg raises or my captain's chair or whatever. And it's like, if you were to eat an apple and you were to give me an apple core, is it 360 or is it just like half? It's like, no, it's
Right.
yes, it's not like just like half the apple. It's an entire 360 front, back, side to side. That's what your core is as your body. So it's making sure that we are training effectively and smart and safe. So that way, again, we get all the benefits that we already touched on earlier in the pod.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I got, guys. Improve your pelvic floor.
Namaste.
I must say, improve your pelvic floor stability,
Have
core
better
floor.
orgasms. Like, at the
Yeah.
very least, like, even if you're not a physique athlete, you don't give a fuck about like your glutes or whatever, at least have better orgasms. Like, at the very, very least.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the only thing you take away from this, like, yeah, just be like, I'm going to do Happy Baby so I can O better. That's fine.
Title of the podcast, Happy Baby for the O.
Literally. That, yeah, that's it. Because a lot of people are going to click on it and be like, ooh, I want to know what that's about.
Like, I wanna have a better O. We all want better O's.
Can it be like O with like three O's though? Like, oh.
Ooh. I love it. Any final thoughts before we finish with our gratitudes?
No, I'm gonna like, I'm already like, I'm this week, I'm gonna try and do it three times. I'm gonna tag you on Instagram.
Ooh,
I'm
please do. Oh, that's actually such a good idea, is when you feel like you don't have motivation. It's like to have an accountability buddy. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, so I'm doing it. I'm doing it this week three times. I'm committed. I'm gonna do it tonight.
I love it. Okay. So then before we do gratitudes, what color has the worst personality?
Red.
Oh, explain.
I just hate red.
She was red. Fuck red.
Like my least favorite color. I think red is like really aggressive. I don't think it matches anything. I just like if it's a person and it's a personality, I just think it's someone who's like really fucking stubborn and has all these rules and is very black and white. And like I just think of like a stop sign, like in your face, big, bold, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but like I'm trying to be lax and like that's just not my vibe.
You know what's funny is your favorite color is like hot pink, which is a variation of red.
Yeah, but it's not red. So it's like I am bold and I'm all these other things, but I'm living in like a
You need a
more,
little bit of white.
yeah,
I see you. I see
little
you.
bit of mixed balance in there, so to speak. Why? What color do you think has the worst personality?
Man,
Brown.
I was gonna say yellow only because it's like timid. And like there is a difference.
No. No, it's the sun, dude. How is that timid? It's a big
Okay, so I'm not thinking of like in your face
fucking
vibrant
ball.
yellow. Okay, pastel yellow. I don't
Okay.
like pastel yellow is like timid. You
Like I
know what I'm
drank like two
saying?
and a half gallons of water, pea yellow, which is really clear.
Which is just yeah, so I'm thinking like pastel yellow, like Easter yellow.
Oh yeah, that's lame.
Yeah, I'm like that's where you tell me that you're timid. And it's like listen, like it's not like it's a bad color and it's not that being timid is necessarily bad per se. I think it's good to have a calculated pause, gather all the information before making a decision. But when you're timid, that tells me that you don't have confidence in yourself. And it's
Yeah.
like, dude, like you're really fucking awesome. Like if you're gonna be yellow, be fucking yellow. Like
Yeah,
be
be
in
the
your face,
sun.
the sun.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that. But yeah, I still think red's the worst.
I feel like it is pretty aggressive though. I don't mind a little bit of aggression, but I can see why it would be aggression in a way that's not productive.
Yeah. Like very attention seeking. Nobody likes it. Like it's just kind of awkward. Like it's like red in my mind is like you're at like church and like a bunch of like frat boys start rolling in like just out of place, obnoxious, totally loud. I mean, not a bad thing if you're at like a frat party, but like in the middle of church, not okay. Let's not do it. So that's red. That's why I
Respect.
be red
All
as a
right, so we
person.
get red and pastel yellow. So guys, when you're listening to the podcast, let us know what color has the worst personality and tell us why. You can't just say like dark green and not fucking tell us why. Like that's
Yeah, like
boring.
there's got to be a reason behind it.
There's
So
gotta be
let
a
me,
reason. There's gotta be a
yeah.
reason. And then
What do
also
you?
tell us what you're grateful for. And Ash, what are you grateful for this week?
Ooh, I'm actually really, really grateful for the ability to afford groceries that I thoroughly enjoy with Whole Foods and stuff because food's getting like really expensive. Like eggs are expensive, all the stuff is. So I'm just grateful that I can keep eating in a way that makes my body feel good, even with like inflation and prices going up. So I'm very, very grateful that I can do that.
Dude, we're on the same wavelength because mine was going to be like a shittier version of it, but mine was going to be I'm thankful for Costco cash back so I could buy my groceries.
Yeah, I mean, hey, same thing. Same shit, different pile, right?
That's right. That's what I'm saying. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week. Peace.
Adios.